Let's pray. Father, we just praise you that we have been washed, cleansed, robed, forgiven, all through the blood of Jesus. And I just pray that you would speak to us this morning through your wonderful word. I pray that you continue to shape us into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our study in this great chapter known as the Hall of Faith. And our focal passage this morning is going to be Hebrews 11, verse 32. And as the writer of Hebrews continues to bring up examples of people who had a relationship with the Lord through faith, verse 32 reads, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel in the prophets." As we start verse 32 this morning, we will spend our time on someone who was known as a mighty man of valor. His name is Gideon. He was also known by the name of Jerubbaal, which means "let Baal contend." If you were to focus on these two titles alone, you would get the impression that Gideon was invincible and unwavering. But you would not get the complete story. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6. As we begin our story of Gideon, I first want to point out the environment in which Gideon was called. In Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. So the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel." After Moses, after Joshua, the children of Israel forgot about God. They turned to living a life based on idolatry and self-fulfillment. As the children of Israel cried out because of the oppression of the Midianites, God calls Gideon. If you look at verse 12 of chapter 6 in the book of Judges, it says, "In the angel of the Lord." Now, when you see that, it's Jesus Christ. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.' Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will wait until you come back.'" While we see Gideon described as a mighty man of valor, as we see him with the name of Jerubbaal as he taunts false gods. Gideon was a man with clay feet, just like you and me. As we see here in the verses that we just read, he had his doubts. He didn't understand the situation that the nation of Israel was in. But in spite of his weakness, God graciously calls him. He'd asked for a sign, and he went to prepare an offering. And as he brought the offering back, God graciously consumes the offering with fire. God instructed Gideon to go down and tear down the altar that his father had built to Baal. And he was obedient, but he was afraid. And in fact, if you look at verse 27, it says, "So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night." He believed, but he had weakness, just like you and me. Later on in the chapter, you will see where Gideon was clothed with the Spirit of the Lord to conquer the Midianites. But yet you still see weakness in the life of Gideon. As you look at verse 36, it reads, "So Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said it.' And it was so." Well, that should be enough, right? But look at what happens. "When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water." What did Gideon do? In verse 39, it says, "Then Gideon said to God, 'Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew.' And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground." He was a man with clay feet. He needed to be reassured. He didn't quite understand. But after that, after he received the assurance, we see the obedience of Gideon. As he was prepared to take the Midianites, he first had 22,000 men. God said, "That's too many." So he got his army down to 10,000 men. As he reduced the men down to 10,000, God said, "That's too many." He ended up with 300 men. 300 men to fight a vast army. God graciously, later on in the chapter, allows Gideon to hear someone give an account of a dream that they had had. Join me of Judges chapter 7 as we pick up the story there in verse 15. And it reads, "And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand.' Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also will blow the trumpets. on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What can we learn from Gideon in our own life? Well, first of all, as we already discussed, God calls each and every one of us to serve within an environment of sin. We don't live in a perfect world, do we? God calls us, each and every one, to live and work in the environment that surrounds us. So many times it's easy to say, well, when I don't have any problems, when I have all the time in the world, when I'm not facing any adversity, when I don't feel any pressure, well, then I'll serve God. But that's not how God operates. I love the hymn by Isaac Watts titled, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And it reads, Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight. If I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They shall see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all Thy armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be Thine. We're called to be soldiers. And as we look at the life of Gideon, even though at times he had the need for assurance and he requested assurance, we too are to be like Gideon. We have to be a soldier of the cross. Secondly, by looking at the life of Gideon, we understand that God works through us in spite of our weaknesses. And in fact, God understands us. As we already studied in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it reads, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. God understands us. And we see in the life of Gideon where God graciously accommodated him and worked through his weakness. Gideon was not discarded, even though at times he needed assurance. God's not going to discard you, even though you may at times have a period of weakness. All throughout the Bible, we see where God works through us in spite of ourselves. God worked through Gideon. We see that God worked through Peter after he denied Christ three times. We see in John 21, verse 17, where Christ said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. God didn't forget Peter. He worked through him. We see in the Bible where God worked through Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it reads, Unless I should be, and this is Paul speaking, and he says, Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Christ works through people that are broken. He works through us. So many times people will look at their life and they'll say, well, God can't use me. That's not how God works. God uses us. He has saved us. He has redeemed us. He has cleansed us. And no matter what your past, and no matter what your background, no matter what your age, you are acceptable to be used by God in His kingdom if you are a child of God. And as we see Gideon at times saying, just one more time, Lord, can I put out a fleece? I think we can all relate to that. But he wasn't discarded by God. The third thing that I think that we can learn in the life of Gideon is that we must eventually step out in faith. One of the verses, as we've studied in the book of Hebrews, and especially in chapter 11, one of the verses that I have come to absolutely love is Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We see that in the life of Gideon. Eventually, God calls us to act. It's just not belief. It's not intellectual acknowledgement. Eventually, we have to step out. We have to do things for God in His kingdom. As I've said before, as you open up your Bible and you look at the gifts of the Spirit, you do not see pew-sitting as a gift. It's not in there. We're not called to sit in the pew. We're called to worship, but God has equipped us all with a gift. And we all have different gifts. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We're His hands, we're His feet, we're His mouth, and we all have different gifts, but we have been called. And just as Gideon at one point is putting out the fleece, after he has confirmation, he looks at his men, and what does he say? He says, arise, arise. It's a call to action. And God uses Gideon graciously. As I said before, I fought filling this pulpit for years and years. I didn't want to be a preacher. And God always wins. Now, as we think about being used by God, and we're all called to do different things, I want to bring something up. Because in fighting my call, after I surrendered and said, okay, I'll be a preacher, I could spend a lot of wasted time looking backward. I could do that, but I don't. I could have said, well, because I surrendered to preach when I was in college, and I fought that and didn't want to do that, and then I find myself in my 30s surrendering to preach. God used those 10 years to prepare me to what I needed to do. And if you're here this morning and you say, well, gee, I feel like I've wasted time. Think about Paul. Paul was no friend of the church, was he? God calls Paul, and Paul surrenders to the call, but he doesn't go home and sit there and say, well, gee, I'm saved, but I can't be used by God because look at all of my past history. My friends, that's not the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. The redeeming power of Jesus Christ is that you have been saved, you've been forgiven, the slate's wiped clean, and you are to be used by God right now in this very moment in your life. You don't look back. You look forward. You look forward to be used by God. The next thing that I want to point out is that when we do move forward, you experience victory and blessings and joy and peace because you are doing what God has called you to do. Isn't it interesting when you think about this? Jesus Christ, pre-incarnation, appears to Gideon. And what's Gideon doing when God calls him? The Midianites would come and raid all of the food stock of the children of Israel. So he's out there in secret threshing wheat. And you can tell by the conversation that he's having with Christ that he's doubtful. Why are all these things happening? And isn't it interesting that Jesus looks at him? He's not leading anybody. He doesn't have a high position. He said, I'm in the weakest clan of the tribe. And what does Jesus Christ call him? O mighty man of valor. Why does Christ call him that? Because God said, this is what I'm going to change you into. You're in secret now, but I'm calling you, O mighty man of valor. Isn't that what God does when we surrender our life to Him and we say, okay, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to live a life of active faith. It's just not going to be intellectual acknowledgement, but I'm going to actually live my life. I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to speak for Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ in whatever way God has equipped you to do. And when you do that, my friend, just like Gideon having victory, you have victory through Jesus Christ. I can relate that to my personal experience because I spent 10 years fighting the pulpit and now you can't take it away from me. Why is that? Because I'm doing something that God prepared me to do. And each of you has been given a gift and you are to serve God. And when you serve God and when you give of your time and your talent and your treasure and when you serve in the kingdom, then you experience peace and joy because you're doing what God's designed you for. See, in order for us to live as believers, we've got to believe the words of God. I love in 1 John 5:4 where it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In other words, my friends, we have been saved and we are to be overcomers. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Gideon just didn't sit around and go, okay, fleece number 3, fleece number 4, fleece number 5. Isn't that what we do when we read the Bible but we don't step out in faith and we don't live a life of faith? Aren't we just continually giving an intellectual acknowledgement or lip service to God if we don't back it up with actions? God has called us to live a life that is active in faith. You got to believe that. As I've said before, if you're not living it, you really don't believe it. We're called to be active. We're called to believe that we have power in our life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to overcome the world, to overcome sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I don't have to live a life of defeat. You don't have to live a life of defeat. You can live a life of victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can overcome sin. You can serve Him. Luke 9:24, Christ says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Do we believe that? Does our life reflect it? We can come in here and sing Victory in Jesus every single Sunday, but unless you're living a life of faith, you'll never experience that victory that Jesus Christ has in store for you. We're called to be victorious. He has saved us and redeemed us. He's equipped us to serve in His kingdom. And just like Gideon and his men, God calls us to arise and follow Him. Will you please join me in prayer? Father, we just thank You for this wonderful example of Gideon. We thank You that in spite of our weaknesses, that You work through us. We thank You for the joy that we get when we're obedient to You. And I just pray, Lord, as a congregation, that we may all be obedient people, that we may follow You, that we may trust in You. I pray, Lord, that if someone is here and has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would accept You today, that they'd ask You into their heart, that they'd commit their life to You, that they'd ask for forgiveness of sins. I pray, Lord, for those of us who know You, that every single day that we'd die daily for You, that we'd follow You, trust You, that we'd be active in our faith, that we'd relinquish our life and look to You for victory. I pray that we would be overcomers for You in a world that doesn't know You. In Jesus' name, amen.